Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What kind of things is the devil lying to you about to get you to be involved in something? Well, that's not that bad. It's not that bad to be involved in that. Well, you know, have a better idea than what God's word does. And we run around thinking that instead of going, no, wait a minute. God's word knows exactly what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live.
The devil uses the same old tricks and lies over and over in his attempts to get us off track. Thankfully, we have the truth of God's word that never changes to keep our feet from walking down a path where we shouldn't be going. We're in our series Combat Zone, where we are learning what Scripture says about fighting victoriously in the spiritual realm. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Ephesians 6, verse 11.
I want to tell you as a Christian, you have a new power inside of you, according to Romans chapter 6, to overcome sin. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are now a slave to righteousness. And a lot of times we just don't know. We just keep it up. We just keep doing what we're doing because we don't understand. We've been completely set free. I used this example last weekend in a study of some police officers that found a gorilla and called in the animal control, thank you, to come in and help the gorilla. And when they got the gorilla to a zoo, because they couldn't release it in the wild and open it up, the gorilla wouldn't leave the cage. They couldn't get it to leave. It was now had room to roam, but it wouldn't leave. I liken that to a lot of Christians. We have sin in our lives and we're used to doing it. And then we have power to overcome it, but we're like the gorilla. We just don't leave the cage. We just don't realize I really have power now. I have the power inside of me. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave to righteousness. I am a slave to Christ, and I can overcome these things. And so I want us to put on our armor because it is our character of who we are. Now let's get into our study. Last service, it's going to be long. So settle in. No, it won't be. I'll get through this quickly. Now, if you take a look at this verse, verse 6:11, I'll put it up on the screen for you. So you take a look at that verse, you're going to see our 3 points. Number one, put on the whole armor of God. That's one. Number two, that you may be able to stand. Number three, against the wiles of the devil. That's the number three. So we're going to put on our full armor that we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And we see, first of all, that we are to the command to equip, that we're to put on the full armor. And we should consider, first of all, that this armor that you're putting on is your own and not mine. I can't put on armor for you. You can't put on armor for me. I can't put on armor for my kids. My kids have to put their own armor on. Spouses have to put their own armor on. But we've got to put the armor on. We look at all of these different aspects that Paul talked about and talked about them for a reason. And you need to ask yourself, am I walking in truth? Am I walking in righteousness? Am I truly saved? Do I have faith? And do I have the word of God? And when you look at Eve and you look at Jesus and they're both being tempted, both of them are attacked with doubts, and Eve mishandles the word of God and falls into sin, and Jesus handles the word of God well and doesn't fall into sin. And so we want to make sure that when Satan attacks our minds, because that's what the attack is all about, we want to make sure that we're able to stand strong. Now, could you imagine a fireman who only put on his jacket to go into a burning building to save someone's life? Those of you who are firemen here, you know you wouldn't do that. Because two things. Number one, you'd endanger yourself. Number two, you would never save the guy's life because you would probably not get to him, especially if it was a fierce fire. You have to have all of your protection on. And firemen learn how to put that stuff on fast. I don't know exactly how fast it is. I need to ask a fireman how fast they can put their gear on, but they practice putting it on until they can get that gear on fast so they can have the whole protection. And that's the idea of the full armor. We need to wear the full armor. You can't have everything else right and then go, but you know what? I'm not going to walk in the truth. I don't believe the word of God. I think my ideas are better than the word of God. And now you've got a huge flaw. Now you've got a huge problem where you are not protected as you're able to stand. Romans 13:4 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. So again, the idea of putting on this armor and standing strong for the Lord. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this again comes back to the truth that we find in the scriptures, that we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Now, the armor of God is again for us, it's characteristics of us, our character in us, in the way that we live. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him. Charles Spurgeon said of this armor passage, God's armor is made to measure. What he meant by that is that it's made just for you. It's not made for someone else. It's made to measure. Let us not attempt to improve it, but wear it with confidence. And I like that, because the people that are writing books on other ways to combat the enemy are trying to improve on the armor that God has already given us. And when we put that on, that armor, we are going to be effective. Now, the second thing we're told is that we are to stand, that you may be able to stand. Now, this isn't like standing in the line of Starbucks. This isn't being able to stand while you're cooking dinner. This is standing in battle. Think of a warrior. Think of a modern day warrior who's got his post and he's got all of his gear on and he stands. He's ready to stand and he's ready to defend. If he is guarding someplace, then he's ready to take on who's ever coming to be able to guard the place to the best of his ability. And that's the idea of standing. We put on our full armor so that we can stand. We're now ready to take on the enemy, Satan and his forces, because we'll stand. Now, I've heard people say before, when it comes to Satan, I've got to deal with him. I leave him alone and he leaves me alone. That's their idea. Well, Satan's not going to keep any deal that you come up with anyway, so don't think that he's going to leave you alone. He's going to look for ways to come after you, and you need to be prepared. When my late wife died, she would take care of all the spiders, because I don't like spiders. I just don't like them. I think I have the same deal with my wife now as well. At least I hope that I do. I take care of other bugs. She takes care of spiders. That's kind of the way it is. I'll take care of snakes, and I'll take care of lizards that make our way to our house, and none have, okay? Just so you know, no, there's no snakes in our house. But there are spiders. So when my late wife died, there were a couple of wolf spiders in my bedroom. They were like behind pictures and one was in a corner. And I just made a deal with them. You stay away from me, I'll stay away from you. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. If I find you around my bed, I'll kill you. But other than that, I'm just gonna leave you alone right where you are. And some people make a deal like that with the devil, but it's not gonna work because we're battling for souls. Why do you think our feet are prepared with the gospel? Because the battle is over those who don't know Jesus. Why do you think Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against you and I've given you the keys to the kingdom? We in the church are those who let people in. We're out doing the work of the gospel. And so that is part of our standing. Now, standing requires strength. Standing is not passive. It takes courage and strength. Joshua was told, be strong and be courageous. And we need to be strong and courageous once we get our armor on to make sure that we stand. Think of Jesus and his great strength to stand during the trials that he endured, to have the false accusations thrown at him, to have the crown of thorns shoved on his head, to have the purple robe put around him, to be mocked and made fun of, to be beaten, to have the beard pulled from his face. He could have stopped it at any moment. He didn't have to be scourged. Even at the cross, what strength? He said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down. Nobody grabbed his arms while he was fighting, saying, no, 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 and then drove nails through it. He laid his hands out, and they drove nails through his flesh and into that tree. He stood in the midst of that battle. And that's what we do. Storms come quickly. We must be prepared before the storm comes. We can't wait for the storm to come to be prepared for it. We have to be ready for it. Standing means holding your ground. The enemy wants to push you back. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that we understand who we are and that we stand for him. Martin Luther, he pounded his 95 theses on the doors of Wittenberg. And the Catholic Church was doing a lot of things at that time that were really wild. There's some things happening in the Catholic Church that are really wild today, by the way. And he was a priest, he was a monk. And they sold indulgences. So if you wanted to go out and have an affair, you could go to the church and you could buy an affair and have it pre-forgiven for an affair. That was only one of the things that he stood against. And so he pounded his thesis, a 95 thesis on the doors of Wittenberg, and still was a monk. He was trying to reform from within. He didn't become a reformer until later on, until he was actually kicked out of things. But he immediately was attempted to be killed. They wanted to kill him. And he went and hid in fortresses. And at some point he realized, this isn't what God's calling me to do. God's not calling me to be in castles, hiding. And so he left. But here's the statement that he made when he left. He walked outside the castle and said, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." I love the honesty of that moment with him. "Here I stand. I can't do any other. I'm not going to stay in a castle the rest of my life. God help me. I need God's help." And that's what we all need. Now, standing prepares us for victory, as we will be able to fight against the enemy. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says, you will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand in the Lord, see the salvation of the Lord. We see that a lot of times in the scriptures, that God fights for us and that God is with us everywhere we go. Now, finally, there's a challenge to stand firm against the wiles, which is an old King Jamesy word for schemes or tactics. So the enemy, he knows how to get to people. He's pretty good at this. He's been doing it for a while. He knew how to get to Eve. He knew exactly how to attack. Again, we'll cover this in the future, but he first questions God. She makes God's word less gracious. And then she says, "God said we can't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden or we might die." She now changes God's word. God said, "If you eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, you will die. You surely will die." And Satan came back and denied God's word. "You surely shall not die." And eventually she looked at the fruit and said, "This is pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise and to gain knowledge." And she ate it and she died. The death entered into the world. She gave it to Adam and Adam ate it, and death entered into the world through Adam. So technically it wasn't Eve that brought death into the world. It was Adam that brought death into the world. She was deceived though, and that's the way Satan works. He deceives us. So what kind of things is Satan deceiving you about? What kind of things about God's word, which in the day that we're living has been backed up so much by archaeology discoveries, by discoveries of ancient texts, that the word of God can be counted on, that we can trust it? What kind of things is the devil lying to you about to get you to be involved in something? "Well, that's not that bad. It's not that bad to be involved in that. Well, you know of a better idea than what God's word does." And we run around thinking that instead of going, "No, wait a minute. God's word knows exactly what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live." Now, Jesus stayed with this strategy in his temptation. He was asked a question, doubting, "If you are the Son of God, then turn this rock into bread." Jesus quoted a scripture, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Later on, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory and said, "I'll give you all these because they've been delivered unto me if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "The Bible says you shall not worship anyone but the Lord God away from me." And he cast him away. He stayed true to the word of God and was able to defeat the enemy. The tactics of the enemy is to get us to not believe what's in the pages of the word of God. Why do you think the world attacks God's word so much? Why do you think there are so many pastors who compromise God's word and begin teaching their own philosophies and their own ideas? I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear the ideas of a pastor. I don't want to hear the philosophies of a pastor. I want to know what God's word says. And when I find myself listening to a study or sitting in a church, I want to know what the Bible has to say so that I can take that and apply that to my life. What are you giving people if you give them your opinions? If you could give them the word of God and you give them your opinions, what are you doing? Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." You know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Corrie Ten Boom said, "The devil is strong, but his power is limited. But God's power is limitless." We have God with us, and it's limitless. When the devil lies to you, stay grounded. Stay in the Word of God. As soon as you believe a lie, you are now in an area where you can be defeated. We are giving over to the enemy when we believe we need something that God has told us not to do, when we're moving away from those things. Colossians 2:15 tells us Jesus already has the victory, having disarmed principalities and powers. Now we're putting on our armor, and we have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. They were disarmed. We get scared of them, but we're armed and they're not. It says, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over it. That's the cross. At the cross, he took away the power of the enemy, and now we have power given to us. No wonder Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. We are guaranteed victory as long as we stay in the midst of that battle. Let me wrap up the study with a couple of different things. There's a hymn. We don't sing very often, but we should. Victory in Jesus. That's not direction towards the worship leaders, by the way, or criticism. Just saying. I like it. There's a hymn called Victory in Jesus. Can you hear it? Victory in Jesus, right? It was written in 1939. Sounds like it was written in 1939. Could be updated a little bit. It was written by a songwriter by the name of Eugene Bartlett. In 1939, he was a teacher, he was a songwriter, and he was strongly involved in developing Southern gospel music in the South. After a debilitating stroke, where he could no longer do what he had done before, he sat down and wrote Victory in Jesus. Here's the song. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and I won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, his cleansing power revealing, and he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He saved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing flood. I'll end with three thoughts. Number one, remember the armor is about your character. It's about who you are. Once you get that righteousness and truth and the sword of the Spirit and faith, then you can stand, and who can stand against you? It's how you live when you have it as part of your character. Number two, stand firm in his strength and promises. He will never leave you or forsake you. You're not standing alone. You're not going through your difficulty or hardship alone. Put your trust in the armor that you have on and know that he is with you wherever you go. Number three, stand by relying on his power and resting on Christ's victory. As long as you're standing on the fight, you'll win. As we saw last week, Warren Wiersbe said, you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. And that's what we want to stand with. So, onward, Christian soldier. You've been called by God and equipped by God. You've been given the gospel to take out into the world. Let us march forward, fully armed and ready for the battle, standing strong in the victory of the Lord. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much as we can take time to consider the battle that we're in, putting on the full armor of God, standing in the midst of the battle, and that we will not be taken advantage of by the devil and his tactics. If we're wearing your armor, if we're standing, the schemes of the devil will not be able to get to us. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that maybe have believed certain lies about the enemy or about their own life that have made themselves vulnerable. I pray that they would stand strong and solid in you. And thank you for giving us this direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. That's why he came and died on the cross. Because all of us like sheep have gone astray, and he took your sin on himself. If you follow Jesus and believe in him, but you don't give your life to him, then your faith is in vain. And the Bible talks about people that have their faith in vain. They believe he rose from the dead. They believe that he's alive, but they've never said, Lord, I give you my life. There are religious people who never give their lives to Jesus. I want to encourage you to give your life to him today. You might think, I'm a Christian. I don't need to invite Jesus in. No, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You got to make sure that you're not Christian by name only. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you say, Lord, I give myself to you and I want to live for you. I'm ready to surrender my life. The Bible says this in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name, not by the power of the flesh, but by the power of God. You are born again by the power of God who transforms you and makes you into an entirely new person, a new creation, it says in the Bible. You want to give your life to Christ? You're done living for yourself? Then just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lift your hand up now. Be bold as you do. God bless you. There against the wall, your hand raised immediately. That's great. God bless you, ma'am. There in the middle, God bless you as well. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you guys here in the middle. That's awesome. Back over here, God bless you. That's great. Thank you. Back here in the back, great. God bless you. God bless you, sir, right by the aisle. That's awesome. All the way back over to the left, God bless you. God bless you there by the doors. I was going to make that my last sweep. I'm going to do it again. Anybody else? Be bold. Jesus died for you. Now you're going to live for him. All the way back over to the left, God bless you. That's great. All right, you can put your hands down. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How incredible.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.